pick a window.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
For what reason?
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
You are listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. Joining me this week, Tiffany.
Demolish the patriarchy.
MJC.
Welcome to the resistance.
Indeed. We got a lot to cover this week, but I don't know. I am confident that after all these years, we can do it.
Been 100% so far, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're under time on the episode so far.
There you go.
I believe in us. Well, I believe in us.
Well under time. How's everybody doing? Anybody got anything they need to plug or talk about?
You know, I was thinking of my deep dive, and I don't have one this week. But if I did have one, it was on the history of pockets and how women don't have fucking pockets. And this came up because this week I got a dress for my mother's wedding and it has no pockets and it makes me so upset. My wedding dress had pockets. So anyway,
I did not know that. That makes it even better.
Yeah, it did. And women have had pockets like in the 17th century, 1700s and stuff. They had like these things they'd wear. And then when the style changed, it wasn't flattering, and so we haven't had pockets because of that.
Is that what it is, or is it? Did men do it?
Yeah, men. It's totally men. Men did everything. Yes, men did that.
It's fashion. It was fashion controlled by men, of course, at the time.
Yeah.
It was the silhouette. The shape was more flattering if there wasn't a pocket on the hip,
right?
You know, or in the front.
So even now, like pockets, men's pockets are much larger than women's in their front pocket. Like you could fit your phone, and women mostly cannot fit their phone in their front pockets because they're smaller. Mm-hmm. If they're real, if they're even real. Butt pockets are sometimes not even real.
I think men might have done that to themselves by creating a need to carry all of your stuff because we created clothes with no pockets.
Well, that's what the handbag was for.
Exactly. And then they said, oh, now you have to carry a fucking purse.
I carry a purse.
Carry it in your purse.
I know.
So it's easier to be stolen. You
but
know.
Then they can sell purses to women. And then it was the pink tax kind of got in there, and it was a jumble. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's my rant. My dress does not have pockets. I'm very sad about it. It will be fine.
We'll figure it out. Because my dress has a pocket. And then it's got a little bag that I carry around on my belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two of mine do not have pockets. One has pockets, which are odd and bug me because they get caught on shit every time I'm walking past things. But my other two, yeah, I have to wear my wee purse off my belt.
Mine does. It has a pocket sewn into the fold over.
Mm-hmm.
So If I go to get things that I've put into my pocket, it looks like I'm rubbing my junk.
Oh, you know what? He went the first time we did a parade together, and he went to get me a pill, and he reached in his pants, the front of his
kilt.
Pants. Okay, his kilt. Yes, you're right. And pulled out like a pill for me, and I'm like, what the actual fuck? Where did this come from? Where have you been hiding this? Why is it salty? No, just kidding. It wasn't.
Why is it salty? Was a little soggy. I don't.
I see the direction the show's going already today.
No, no.
And we're only a couple of minutes.
Somebody posted this rant on Threads about, you know, only women should be in dresses, and if you're a dude, and it was basically an anti-trans rant. Mm. And all of a sudden, like halfway down the thread, Scotland has entered the thread. And you suddenly get all of these pictures of kilts and everything. It was awesome. Men in kilts. I thought that was awesome.
Kilts are comfy. Women have been like hoarding the comfort of the dress.
Oh, yes. Women hoard all the comfort from men. Totally. Let's talk more about that.
I am more comfortable in a kilt than I am in pants.
Okay, that's fair, but...
Yeah. That's all I'm saying. It's more comfortable. It's more breezy. It keeps me from getting as sweaty.
Depends on the kilt. Depends on the pants. That's how I feel.
That's fair.
Do you always feel safe in your kilt?
Safe? Yes. Fuck no. Have you seen the way women react around men with kilts?
Especially you, babe. I know.
Yeah, we went to Piper Down for an event a few years back, and I was wearing my kilt, and it was experiencing what it's like to be a waitress. Because, I mean, it was just like I got grabbed, I got smacked, I had my skirt lifted so many times, and the women would just chitter and tee-hee the whole time, and I'm just like, and all I can think the whole time is like, oh, men are the worst. We obviously taught them how to behave like this. Exactly.
We trained this behavior.
Yep.
About that term, two young and lovely girls just happened by, and one said to the other with a twinkle in her eye, see yon sleeping Scotsman so strong and handsome built, I wonder if it's true what they don't wear beneath their kilt.
I don't know where you've been, lad, but I see you've won first prize. And that was it. It was just women like, what you wearing under there? And it's like, underwear because of predatory women like you, ma'am. Grandma, let go of my kilt.
I did have a sweet little old lady walk up to me at a Scottish festival and ask me, what do you wear under your kilt? And I looked at her and I said, on a good day, lipstick.
That is awesome.
Hey, inappropriate questions get inappropriate answers.
That's right. You fucking asked.
That's my favorite.
Another one is when they ask, is there anything worn under the kilt? I say, no, lass, everything under here is in perfect working order.
Dig it. Okay, you guys want to do some news?
Sure.
Okay, that's kind of what we do here. So a little more enthusiasm from either of you.
I know, it's just so depressing.
Well, and
it's angry causing.
It starts off pretty rough and just keeps getting worse.
It's just going to get worse.
Yep. Yeah. Young trans woman facing assault charges for self-defense in Wyoming, in spite of Wyoming having a stand your ground law. Rihanna Kelver was standing outside the Crowbar and Grill in Laramie, Wyoming, where she works, when some dude just started shouting homophobic rhetoric at her, transphobic slurs, came up to her, smacked her around, threw her to the ground. She pulled out a weapon that she is registered to use and own, pointed it at him, and told him to stop. He, because he's a piece of shit, called the cops. And the cops, because they're pieces of shit, ACAB, arrested her for assault. She got yelled at. She got insulted. She had slurs thrown at her. She was thrown to the ground. She stood her ground, and she protected herself in a state that seems to think that that's how we need to behave. And because she's trans, they're putting her in jail and charging her with felonies. Mm-hmm. Now, you may recall her name, Rihanna Kelver, because when Wyoming passed their stupid anti-trans bathroom bill, she was the first one to go in right in front of a highway patrolman and a bunch of reporters. She's like, fuck you, nice. I gotta pee. You know, and got arrested. So despite Wyoming's stand your ground statute,
which allows people to use reasonable force in moments of self-defense. Kelver faces up to 15 years in prison for both charges, as well as up to $11,000 in fines. Kelver faces an additional year and $1,000 fine for a charge of interference with a peace officer. Per the statute, a person who uses reasonable defensive force shall not be criminally prosecuted for that use of reasonable defensive force. I'd say when a guy and his three or four buddies start beating the shit out of you, yeah. I don't think she used reasonable force. I think she should have shot one of them.
Yep.
Totally.
Let them know she was serious.
Take out a kneecap. That yep. usually makes sure they remember you for the rest of their life. But, you know, in the state that has Laramie in it, and we know what happens in Laramie.
Yep. Bad mm-hmm. things.
Gay. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Then this is why would this surprise me? Yeah.
So she's in jail?
She may be out.
Okay.
At this point, the article's a few days old. So, but yeah,
it's the ACLU. Guess you got a case.
Yep. So James Byrd, who's running for United States Senate as a Democrat in Wyoming, commented on the case on his Facebook page, saying, "The Kelver case is bigger than one bartender, one crosswalk, and one night in Laramie. It's a test of whether the Second Amendment means what it says for everyone. Every law-abiding citizen has a fundamental constitutional right to protect themselves when physically attacked, period. This is not a selective right, and it cannot be subject to a popularity contest or cultural approval."
Snaps.
James Byrd doing his best to get the Byrd family name with a little shinier light in the Democratic Party than the old Byrd.
Than the last Byrd who was in. Yeah, that's a good man.
Yep. I like this guy.
And then, you know, I also think about there was a woman in Georgia, or I think it was Georgia, a black woman. Her ex-husband was about to attack her. She pulled her gun, fired up in the air, and he ran off and then called the cops because he's a piece of shit.
Yep.
And she was arrested for brandishing a deadly weapon. I'm like, so the Second Amendment doesn't apply to people of color, obviously. Just like it doesn't apply to trans people. Only to white people who conform to the conservative Christian way.
If you're wearing your brown shirt.
Your arms. Yep.
Yep.
Exactly.
I mean, it really comes down to, you know, like Cece McDonald, black trans woman mm-hmm. who served time in a men's prison for defending her yeah. friends during a racist and transphobic attack. Kai Peterson, a black trans man from Georgia, was also arrested and imprisoned for killing his rapist in self-defense. It's disgusting behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Moving on. Scott Pelley fired from CBS. You might recall Scott Pelley from 60 Minutes, which used to be CBS's flagship news program, unimpeachable news program. Well, it's been run by MAGA now for the last 6 months or so. And what do you know? They're running off the veteran journalists.
Yep.
Because of Barry Weiss, the new editor-in-chief of CBS News. Scott Pelley saying, she's murdering 60 Minutes. So apparently they had a staff meeting mm-hmm. with the new, I want to say, not interim, but the new CEO or the new network president or whatever.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. he lost his shit. And more power to him for doing it. But yeah. Yeah, veteran journalist Scott Pelley reportedly tore into Chief Barry Weiss and her newly appointed head of 60 Minutes during a volatile staff meeting on Monday. She's murdering 60 Minutes, he said. She does not love this place. She was brought in to kill it and is doing exactly that. The yep. blow-up followed last week's shock firings of executive producers and correspondents with the nation's top TV news magazine, which has been around for almost 60 years. His challenges repeatedly drew applause, including a standing ovation from the 60 Minutes staff. Way to go, Scott. But yeah, the remarks followed Weiss, who was reportedly not present at the meeting, firing the show's executive producer and executive editor, ousting two correspondents, and appointing Nick Bilton as the program's executive director. Bilton is a former tech columnist and documentarian who has never worked in broadcast TV news.
It's so crazy.
This is Skydance just tearing down, and yet they want they promised when they bought Warner Brothers that they were not going to touch CNN. I'm like, bullshit. You'll put Barry Weiss in charge of CNN. You know, Barry Weiss, who is this staunch conservative journalist who walked away from a great job at the New York Times because she was too conservative. Last I heard, Pelley was fired, and Weiss was going around saying, this is what happened at the meeting she wasn't at.
Yeah.
Claiming this is what happened and this is what was said. And she's trying to paint herself in a brighter, better light that all these, that the execs and everybody had defended her. And then they fired Pelley, which I'm like, well, who's going to be at the front of the 60 Minutes program to talk about what's
going
on?
Well, they got all summer to figure it out.
Yep.
This makes me miss Newsroom. I wish they'd come back. Where's Aaron Sorkin when you need him the most?
Actually, yeah. Where is your biting social commentary? Do we only get it after the fact, Mr. Sorkin?
I need it now. I just need something.
Yeah, I know. The last thing he did was News? Argo's Got Money Problems. And I'm like, let's get him back.
He did that?
Aaron Sorkin did Argo's Got Money Problems?
Maybe it wasn't Sorkin. No, it was the other guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was like, I got to go watch
shit.
That show.
I know. We started it, but...
Yep.
But it keeps being sad.
And Jeff has a thing. He just doesn't like
I'm
real
already
life.
Sad. I see no reason to poke it with a sharp stick.
Yeah.
I don't like being sad. Sad is bad. It mislikes me.
It was Kelly. It's David E. Kelly who does Margo's One.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah. I like David E. Kelly. He was the...
Didn't he do Ally McBeal?
Ally McBeal, yeah.
So Sorkin was the politics guy, mm-hmm. and Kelly was the legal guy, the law.
Yeah, Boston guy. Legal.
That's why I would often confuse the two, because it was like they were doing shows at the same time. Yeah.
Well, Aaron Sorkin had a bad crack addiction, so that can help you tell them apart.
He did?
Oh, yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of the reasons West Wing went weird the last three seasons is because he quit helping the writer's room.
That's why I've never liked those last seasons. I mean, I like them, but they're just not as good.
Another front on the war on women, the FDA is launching a, quote, study of abortion pill safety.
Mm-hmm.
The full results are unlikely to be completed before November's midterm elections. Isn't that convenient? Because you got a feeling that 5 minutes after the elections, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, it's super dangerous. Can't have it anymore. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The drug, mifepristone, the drug that was not only passed by the FDA originally, has not shown any serious side effect in women who have used it in the 2 decades or 3 decades we've had it.
Safer than aspirin.
Safer than aspirin.
Safer than Tylenol.
But I'm like, what is this actually saying? This is about controlling women again.
Yeah.
Yep.
FIFA regrets free World Cup tickets and demands fans pay up. Fans who received free tickets because of a website glitch have been told by FIFA to pay up within 7 days or lose their seats.
That is fucked up.
That's on you, FIFA.
Yeah.
Yep.
They should have made it like a funny thing, like, oh, look what they got, you know? And not that.
Yep.
How sad.
Just
annoying.
You
won tickets and then they're like...
Oh, no. I don't think this is winning tickets. I think mm-hmm. this was you were online trying to buy tickets and they forgot to put the price in.
Oh.
And so some people got free tickets and they would have probably been doing a happy dance like, I got one over on FIFA. And then FIFA's like, not so fast. We'll cancel your tickets.
Damn.
Yep.
Whereas I think
instead
FIFA
of making them pay for it or having them pay for it or even saying, okay, we're going to have you pay for it at a discounted amount because that's our bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They take it away. But, you know, I mean, on top of it, FIFA, I heard yesterday that they're not going to be allowing people to bring in water bottles.
Right. Yeah, reusable water bottles.
reusable water bottles. You can't bring in reusable water bottles. You have to buy their overpriced water if you want any water.
I think
they're going to do some things to make sure that people have cooling zones and things like that. I'm like, if you're a fan out there watching the game in Mexican or Florida heat, or even Boston heat, in
Texas,
this country now,
yeah,
Texas heat,
Boston you're not, humidity.
Are you going to get up and leave? No, you're going to watch the game. And it's like, yeah, there are going to be people passing out from heat stroke because they couldn't keep a water bottle with them.
On that one, I kind of, I'm not taking FIFA's side, but their rationale was pretty clear that due to hooliganism in other parts of the world, the non-reusable water bottles are softer and don't cause as much damage to human people.
That is fair. That is fair.
I'll give them that.
You know, Tartan Army is coming, so.
Not really. We'll cover that next week. But a whole bunch of them, and I read this in between shows, so that's why it's not in the links, but a whole bunch of Scottish fans that had their travel vouchers ready were told by the U.S. government that, as a matter of fact, they have not been cleared for entry.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So we'll get into that next week. We'll be... Look, I will talk about as little World Cup soccer as possible, folks, as I possibly can. So with that said, we're going to take a break. We'll get back on the other side. Deep dives and Utah news.
What are we doing today?
That is an important question.
So this is the part where we ask for money?
This is the part where we ask for money.
I hate this part.
I hate it too. You know, if we had billionaire funding, we wouldn't have to do this.
But independent media matters, and it only works if people fund it. Where's George Soros when you need him?
If you support independent media, like The Left Show, we'll keep doing the work. No corporate sponsors, no censorship.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Pop over to theleftshow.com and make a statement about how you won't be led astray by bought and paid for media. With your donation today, theleftshow.com. What if there was one place where comic book fans could get everything? News, reviews, debates, and deep dives every single week.
And not just we read one issue and Googled the rest kind of takes. We're talking 15 years deep, over 600 episodes.
That's right. The world's greatest comic book podcast has been breaking down Marvel, DC, indie books, movies, and fandom culture long before it was cool.
Whether you're a lifelong collector,
a casual fan who just saw the latest superhero movie,
or someone trying to figure out where to even start,
we have got you covered.
We don't always agree, which makes it way more fun.
Yeah, way more fun.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Real opinions, real conversations.
Zero gatekeeping.
Check out the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hey kids, comics!
So I am addicted to lemonade.
Addicted.
Right. And I love fucking lemonade. The more it beats the hell out of the inside of my mouth, the better. I like a good, tart, angry lemonade. I do. And so I'm diabetic, so I'm really not supposed to drink lemonade because it's like half sugar.
Yeah, it's mostly sugar.
Yeah. And now two things. One, Kyla found something out in the world at a Harmon's. For those of you that are out of town, it's a supermarket, a grocery store, and it's called protein lemonade. And it's only 5 grams of sugar, which is quite low and nice. It's got 16 grams of protein in it, and which is good for me as a diabetic. Yeah. I mean, it's good for everybody. Everybody should have a little protein. Too many punchlines. Too many punchlines. Oh, and we are off.
And we're off to the races. Yeah.
Yep. So anyway, lemonade. Well, somebody in the room who will remain nameless suggested several times over many months and years that I should try Crystal Light. Mm-hmm. You know, it is zero calorie, zero sugar, tastes like lemonade. Does not taste like lemonade, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, it helps with the fix.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, so I accidentally, when I was grabbing boxes the other day, grabbed the pitcher sized, not the single serving size. And we have, I don't know if you guys on the regular podcast can't. Tiffany bought these little 16-ounce reusable glass mm-hmm. water bottles that are perfect for that.
You find FIFA won't let you bring.
Right, right.
The World Cup. Yeah.
But I have this monstrosity.
Yes.
And it turns out is the perfect size for the Crystal Light pitcher size.
Mm-hmm.
But I was buying the Crystal Light from my wife, who likes fruit punch, not lemonade. So now I have 20 pitchers of fruit punch to drink through.
We do drink through them fast, and it's cheaper than Propel, because I've been drinking Propel for years now.
She does not like water.
No.
I can't stand Propel.
Water can literally kill you.
So can Propel.
But not like water.
No, exactly in the same way.
It's basically water with extra flavoring and nasty aspartame added to it.
I don't like Gatorade or Powerade or anything, but I do like Propel.
Though if you're looking for a good lemonade, I would suggest Zip Fizz, if you can find it.
I haven't had their lemon. I've had the grape and the orange. Yeah.
The pink lemonade is probably the best. The lemon is you might like the lemon. Lemon's very tart. The pink lemonade is got the right amount of sweetness, but none of it. It's all sugar free. It's carbonated, and it's got caffeine in it, so it wakes so it wakes your ass up. Mm. It's my favorite little quick grab when I'm getting a little nappy, and you know, during my work day, it's like I go grab the fucker and.
I love Zip Fizz.
I didn't know that it had caffeine in it.
Yeah, as an afternoon punch-up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just got a little bit, just enough to just kind of push you over. It was perfect.
It's designed to be just dumped into a water bottle.
Yep.
You know, a standard water bottle.
16.9 ounces.
Disposable. Yep.
Yep.
And I just dump it in my water bottle and give it a little shake, and then I've got myself a nice fizzy drink that I can enjoy, and it's sugar-free, and I wake up. It's awesome.
You should shake the bottle, too. It'll help mix up the powder.
Yeah.
I'll just stick with my Adderall.
Are we back to getting more protein in our diets?
I don't care to speak of it.
That's what my dietitian told me to do, and I was like, well, okay, I know one way to do that.
Do I call friends or neighbors?
Yeah.
All right, gang, let's do a deep dive. It's time for the Left Show's Deep Dives. Every week, your intrepid hosts take a detailed look at important topics from across the globe that matter to you, whether you know it or not. Let's see how this goes. Best of luck, folks. One of the most important political debates happening right now isn't about taxes, immigration, or foreign policy. It's about power. Specifically, how much power should be concentrated in the hands of one person. I think we all know who I'm talking about today. The Founding Fathers designed a system with checks and balances because they understood a simple truth. Power tends to expand unless it is restrained. Congress writes law. The president executes them. The courts interpret them. That's how it was written. Over the years, presidents of both parties have increasingly relied on executive orders to accomplish goals when Congress can't get its shit together. So executive orders can be useful. They allow government to function efficiently and respond quickly to emergencies. The problem comes when executive orders become a substitute for legislation. When major policy decisions are made with the stroke of a pen, rather than through debate, compromise, and votes in Congress, we begin to shift power away from the people's representatives and toward the executive branch. And every time one president expands that authority, the next president inherits it. A cautionary tale to Republicans, because if they don't destroy the union, before the next 2 years and a Democrat gets elected, guess what he can do? Very exciting. And the same concern applies to one of the most sweeping powers a president possesses, the pardon and commutation power. The Constitution gives presidents the authority to grant mercy. Sometimes it's a good thing. History's filled with examples of people who were unfairly prosecuted, excessively punished, or deserving of a second chance. But the power becomes troubling when it's used for political allies, wealthy benefactors, campaign supporters, individuals convicted of serious violent crimes, you know, like beating up, just off the top of my head, Capitol Hill police officers in the middle of a fucking riot in an attempt to overthrow the United States government. A commutation doesn't erase guilt. It simply reduces or eliminates the punishment. When a violent offender has their sentence cut short, victims and their families are often left asking whether justice was truly served. And public confidence in the legal system can be shaken when punishment appears to depend not on the crime committed, but on access, influence, and connections. And the danger becomes even greater when wealthy individuals or political insiders appear to receive special treatment. Whether or not corruption actually exists in the perception of favoritism can be just as damaging as when we've seen recently that corruption absolutely does exist. Citizens begin to wonder if there is a two-layered system of justice, one for folks like us and another for folks with money, fame, or political connections. And it isn't necessarily a partisan issue. Republicans should be concerned when a Republican president expands executive authority. Democrats should be concerned when a Democratic president does the same. Though, let's be honest, it is not equal. It is not balanced.
Not at all
equal. So the principle matters more than the person holding the office. The real question isn't whether you trust the president you voted for. The real question is whether you're comfortable giving the same power to the president you didn't vote for. A healthy republic depends on institutions, not individuals. It depends on laws, not personalities. It depends on a government where the power is distributed, checked, and accountable, because once that power becomes concentrated, history shows that getting it back is an awful lot harder than it was giving it away. So, well, that's the end. That's where I don't know how to end these yet.
I know. I didn't know how to end mine. I just said
and
the end.
Scene.
Oh, that's really good, actually. I could have done that. End scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's part of what started me writing this, and it went because I didn't outline it before I wrote it. I just kind of did a little Kerouac at it. I just sat down and typed until I ran out of words quickly. But the slush fund that is either happening or not happening, depending on who you talk to, will allow those January 6th rioters to petition the government for financial gain because of a crime they committed.
Yeah.
Whether it's just simple trespassing or whether it goes all the way up to what I would like to think is murder, because five fucking cops died protecting the Capitol. So, you know, I get a little upset.
The fact that he sued the government he runs for investigating him for his tax, you know, investigating his taxes. And then he made them, the government he runs, settle with him for an amount of money that he couldn't keep, but he was going to put into a slush fund for those who were his political allies. And, of course, yeah, that has been, it's been stripped away, but we'll see how long it lasts, right?
Yeah.
Because they've said, you can't have this for a slush, you can't have a slush fund that does this. And I'm like, but you haven't said he couldn't, you know, sue and have it a settlement for when he's running the government.
Right.
You can't, you haven't said anything about that. Where the fuck is that? Party of law and order. Party of
bullshit.
Yeah. Party of that. I mean, it's funny. We've watched some corruption happen It was pretty bad under Bush, with the Republican Party just turning a blind eye because he rubber stamped all the bullshit they pushed through.
Mm-hmm.
But under, you know, Trump part one, to just watch the Republican Party just completely turn a blind eye to his behavior, because they were like, and we were like, well, what are they doing while we're paying attention to him? Turned out they weren't doing anything. They were having a great time.
Yep.
And then Trump part two, they're doing even less as a Congress and still turning a blind eye to him. So, yeah.
Elmo sparked controversy this week. Elmo. with a very innocent social media post about the 2026 NBA Finals. The ruckus started after Elmo shared a post on Twitter on Wednesday, as well as a matching post on Instagram, wishing both the New York Knickerbockers and the San Antonio Spurs, I don't know what that's short for, well into their, I'm looking for a joke and I'm not finding it, and so I'm just going to let it go, and now my mouth won't let me. The San Antonio...
Spurious men.
Spurious. Good. Good. Here's the tweet. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Elmo hopes both teams have fun. End.
End.
The internet lost its fucking mind.
Mm-hmm.
Elmo's neutral stance drew sharp criticism from Knicks fans online, with some pointing out that Sesame Street is in New York City.
Oh.
And as such, Elmo should naturally root for the Knicks.
Not if you've been watching the Knicks all these years. Oh, sorry.
No, but this year, apparently, they're doing quite well.
They're doing very well this year.
They're up two games to nothing in the NBA Finals. I don't know if you've heard of the NBA. It's like the WNBA, but for men. I stole that joke. I absolutely stole that joke.
Is that going to make any money? I don't know.
The NBA? I don't think so. I mean, who wants to watch a bunch of men run up and down the court?
I don't.
I know.
You know. Do they have a Caitlin Clark? No, they do not. No. Do they have I'm desperately sorry. Kelsey Plum? No, they do not.
Very proud.
Do they have an Asia? Can't remember her last name.
Wilson.
Wilson?
So proud.
Is it Wilson?
Yeah.
Asia Wilson? She's good. Who's the goth one that I like?
Megan Gusterson. Gustafson.
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 Yep. Yeah, I don't know that she's goth, but she gives me that vibe. She's got black hair.
She played for the Spain national team.
With a name like Gustafson, where else would you play?
And then she came and she plays here.
You know, those Spaniard Gustafsons.
Yeah, the Gustafsons of Spain.
One Twitter user saying, "This isn't the time for sportsmanship, Elmo. These streets ain't Sesame.
Pick a side."
The Wendy's account, which used to be good and no longer is, popped up with, "Not now, Elmo." Eh, whatever.
Okay.
Elmo felt compelled to follow up with another message on Thursday, writing, "Nix that last message. Elmo didn't mean to spur you on."
Thank you for the dad joke, Elmo.
That's cute.
Way to go, little buddy. James Tallarico is not a vegetarian.
Okay.
His girlfriend is, which means that's how he eats.
Yeah. I was thinking of the line from Pulp Fiction. "My girlfriend's a vegetarian," which pretty much makes me a vegetarian.
Yep.
Yeah.
But he's getting attacked for being vegan. And he's not vegan. Anyway, in recent days, Texas Senate candidate Kedden Paxton and other state Republicans and conservative medias have attacked Democratic nominee James Tallarico for having a vegan girlfriend and possibly even being vegan himself. That's fine. That's more barbecue for me, pal.
Who fucking cares?
Texans.
Pardon felon Ken Paxton? Is that who we're talking
about? Well, that's the thing. It's like they can rape women and children, and it's fine. But being a vegan, guys, oh my gosh, did you hear?
Well, this is Tansudism. We have, it's saying, I have nothing to compete with him on. I cannot give you anything that you're not going to want him to do. You know, I cannot tell you, you're not going to want every policy he wants to push through. But if I tell you he's a vegan, maybe you'll not vote for him because this is Texas and we're beef country. And it's like, and now, and then he has to go on the defense going, I eat meat when my girlfriend's not around. Yeah.
Yeah, when I won't get in trouble. I got to run to pick up prescriptions and straight to Arby's.
I smell meat on your breath.
Too many punchlines. Too many punchlines. Anyway, the latest
was invited over to somebody's house, and they were the wife was a very strict raw vegan, and she was just sitting there painstakingly chopping up vegetables. He goes, "Can I help you in any way? Can I chop something for you?" She goes, "No, I've got this. I got this." Husband says, "Why don't you come with me?" And they leave, and they actually leave the house. They go to a burger joint down in the town, and he's like, "Yeah, let's." Yeah, he just orders two burgers. He goes, "This is what I do while she's chopping vegetables."
I fill up and have her. Yeah, I can see that.
And then I have the salad, and I'll eat like a ton of her salad because it's basically a salad.
It's just having dinner in reverse.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like they do in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the latest beef began. Everybody catch that?
I did. No, okay. That was a good one.
I laid it out pretty subtle. When the New York Post revealed the identity of Tallarico's girlfriend, Brianna Menard, in a story that was obsessed with her diet, referring to her as tofu-loving girlfriend, vegan political lobbyist, a committed vegan, in a story whose headline included the fact that she's a vegan. Even vegans don't talk this much about being vegan. It's close. I mean, it's close.
They do talk
about
it.
Very close. Very, very close.
Yeah.
It is. Anyway, Tallarico, probably having an otherwise fine day, was forced to hold a press conference and eat some fucking barbecue. Saying, and I love this, he's been eating barbecue since before Ken Paxton's first indictment.
Well done, James. That's nice. The kind of shit I want to hear. Hey, remember that he's a convicted felon? Yeah.
This isn't the first time Republicans have gone after him for being a vegan. He once ordered a potato, egg, and cheese breakfast taco. Okay. What's an egg? It's liquid chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's embryonic chicken.
Yep.
I was about to say, what's an egg? Delicious protein.
Tasty. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We'll get back on the other side. As I promised earlier, Utah news. Hey, folks. Jeff here. So, you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did, and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory, and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at theleftshow.com.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from The Left Show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live
on your knees.
For some reason, you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
Okay, this one cracks me up. It gives me the giggles. And the reason that it gives me the giggles, it's because it's a talking point that I have stressed to my parents, my grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, all who vote Republican for years. And that's, hey, Mormons. Yeah, you heard me. Mormons. Christians don't believe you're Christians. They think you're a cult.
Yep.
And there's a lot of reasons for that.
As soon as they're done running off the Jews and the Muslims, who do you think they're going to turn on next?
Well, the Scientologists, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly. Mormons have money.
Yes, they do.
Well, so do Scientologists.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So they'll be flipping a coin as to which one they go after first.
Probably the Adventists.
Yeah.
But you see what I mean? All the different varieties of Jesus and other religions that you could possibly want used to be on the long list of the Department of Defense, which I will continue to call it that, the Department of Defense's list of religion. Agnostic is on the list of religions.
Yeah.
Mormons have been taken off. The Defense Department slashed its religious designations list from over 200 to 31. In doing so, the department reclassified the Mormon Church, listing it as outside the Christian category. An official memorandum from the Defense Department states that the action will streamline the department's collection of religious preferences for service members to enhance targeted religious support from the chaplaincy. This is the day I learned that chaplaincy was an actual fucking word.
Oh, the chaplaincy. Yes, quite. I'm very happy to be a member of the chaplaincy.
So what do we got? Christian Assemblies of God, they're weird. Baptists, the Brethren, they're weird. Catholics, pederasts. Church of Christ, Church of God. Church of Christ,
former Mormons.
Yep.
You know, offshoot of Mormons.
Church of the Nazarene, Episcopal Anglican, Evangelical, Jehovah's Witnesses, Lutherans, Methodists, non-denominational Christians, which I guess is what you are if you're a Mormon now. And then what else have we got? Non-denominational, Orthodox, Other, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Quaker, Reformed, Christian Scientists, Seventh-day Adventists, and then the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is just there on its own.
Yeah.
Not labeled as Christian.
It doesn't say Christian hyphen Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Right.
It just says CJ, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yep.
And then you got Hindu, Islam, Judaism, no religion, other religion, and Sikh.
Love it. Republicans don't think Mormons are Christian. Okay? Christians don't think Mormons are Christian. And they never have.
No.
And yet the toady, sycophantic way that Mormons seek, if you'll pardon the throwback to the previous segments, that the Mormons seek Christian protein, and how pathetic their behavior is, how fawning, how delicate, how they're willing to bend over backwards to do anything the Republicans want them to do so that they'll be taken seriously as a religion, is pathetic at best. And here the Department of Defense is like, nah, fuck you, you're not even a Christian church, you're just a church. You know, and they probably only put them in there because the FBI is just rotten with Mormons.
What if they'll stop? They'll stop doing the thing to the fatigues, to the underwear and the fatigues that they issue to LDS servicemen.
Oh,
because
yeah.
they actually do put the little stitches on the nipples and on the knee of the shorts to make them basically garments. Which is really, it was really funny when my brother-in-law was, who's a Mormon, had joined the guard, and he was in his uniform, and like a most military men in uniform, didn't have his jacket on, so he was just in a t-shirt, and his t-shirt had his, temple garment marks on it, and I'm like,
aren't you supposed to hide that?
Aren't you supposed to hide that? Is that like, is that, you're showing your religion, dude, That was that old joke we used to make in Utah County when your garments were showing. Oh, you're showing your religion.
That's true. So Mike Lee got bent.
Of course.
What? I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My church membership is inexorably entwined with my Christianity, as it is for 17 million other Latter-day Saints, and regardless of what the Pentagon thinks.
Okay, when this comes up to a vote, Mike Lee, are you going to say anything about it, or are you just going to vote for it, vote it out?
Oh, yeah. No, there's no vote. This Pentagon can do this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, all Mike Lee can do is send a tweet.
Yep.
John Curtis was a little bent, saying Latter-day Saints are among the most patriotic, service-oriented individuals in our country. No, they're not. They go on missions. They don't join the military. Some of them join the military, but very few compared to how many go on missions. So don't give me that fucking... Mitt fucking Romney. Remember in 2012 when they're like, hey, did your boys serve? And he's like, well, sure they did. They served their church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By going on missions.
Yep.
Oh, so...
Actually, a lot of government jobs for ex-missionaries. Not military.
No, right? But translations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, translations and stuff, absolutely.
Yeah, so, Mitt Romney's out here saying, no, my boys served, but they served their religion instead of their country. And I'm supposed to believe that that's a thing? That's not patriotism. That's crony Christianity. Mm-hmm. It is doing exactly what Christianity claims.
But I've never seen.
Let me finish.
Yeah.
It's doing exactly what Christianity claims homosexuals do.
Yeah.
By proselytizing and trying to initiate and recruit members. Mm-hmm. They all fucking do it. They keep knocking on my fucking door. I have never had anybody with a pride flag knock on my door that wasn't here to visit one of my kids.
I love that guy that goes to Trump rallies to interview people and ask them, basic questions that they can't answer or answer incorrectly. Anyway, he was asking them, about the gay agenda. And they just wear their flags everywhere and like in your face as this guy's holding his flag, his Trump flag, and it's waving around his face. And he has his Trump hat on and his all. Ugh. Yeah. Makes no sense.
Really, the problem is that they're in your face with what they believe. Oh, I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man fails to see the irony. Though, when it came to the Mormon church being accepted by Christians for 5 minutes, I've never seen it more common than when Mitt Romney had his 5 minutes of fame, first running for president, then being a senator. And he was a senator that you heard about. There are some senators you never hear a goddamn thing about him, mm-hmm. but you actually heard about him all the time. And everybody was just totally accepting of Mormonism all of a sudden, and now we're back to where it's supposed to be.
For what it's worth, I think they were lying.
Yeah, no, I fully believe they were lying, because honestly, what is the Republican Party except just, whatever gets us our money, we're happy to say we like it.
Well, lately, they seem to be pretty good with Catholics for the obvious Epstein reasons. Mm-hmm. Until the new Pope is like, hey, war is bad and kid molestation's bad. We're going to work on that. And
war is bad. AI is bad. They're like, hang on a minute.
What?
Yeah, gay folks are family, everybody. That's what the new Pope mm-hmm. says. That's what the previous new Pope said.
Yep.
I may not agree with them, says the Pope, but they are family, and we should treat them, I don't know. What's the word I'm looking for here? Oh, the Gospels say to.
Yep.
The goddamn... Okay. All right. I'm calming down. Because I'm about to get more mad. Utah Governor Caillou Cox. I don't know why we drag Caillou through this. I've never watched an episode. He seems like a nice enough young bald man. I assume he's going through some sort of chemo. Is Caillou...
I assume.
Yeah, why is Caillou bald?
Some of us don't get hair until we are older.
Not that old. No. I had bald babies.
I had all bald babies, and I was bald until I was quite old. And an ex asked me when they saw my pictures what was wrong with me as a kid, like what health problems that I had. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I just didn't have hair.
Did you
have a baby?
Like, leukemia? What's going on?
Yeah. Juvenile onset.
I know. Jesus.
Oh, boy. Anyway, Cox sucks. Utah governor declares June Fidelity Month instead of Pride, as red states find conservative alternatives to Pride Month. I wanna take you guys on a journey real quick, and I mean this. I want it to go. And if I lose my place and start wandering off, somebody fucking lasso me. But in 2016, when the Pulse nightclub shooting happened, it was shocking, and there were rallies all over the country. Mm-hmm. Well, we held one here, and chair of the Democratic Party, Jim fucking DeBacchus, invited Spencer fucking Cox, the then lieutenant governor, to speak to the multitudes, you know, at the big pro LGBTQ plus rally. Yeah. And Cox came out and gave a really impressive speech. It fit the tone, it fit the moment, it had conference cadence, it sounded like a Mormon being sincere, which has made everything he's done against the LGBTQ plus family since then more and more reprehensible. But what mm-hmm. I don't want to do is forget for just 1 minute that the chair of the Democratic Party invited the lieutenant governor of a party that is violently, violently anti-LGBTQA plus.
Yep.
I'm sure I missed some. Up to in an election year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bad optics.
Yep.
Really, really gave them a leg up. You know, that they don't need because they have a super.
Give them an opportunity to say nice things about to the LGBTQ community who were like, oh, maybe we could vote Republican now as long as Cox, because he's the kinder, gentler Republican.
Well, and he
just speaks softly, guys. He is not the kinder, gentler Republican.
Yeah.
It got picked up too. It was like nationwide clips going around. It was shown on Ellen. Yeah. It's nuts.
Yeah.
And now we get Fidelity Month.
Fidelity Month.
What?
Spencer Cox calls for a return to faith, family, and country instead of Pride Month. Someday he is not going to be the governor anymore. Someday he is not going to be surrounded like a coward by highway patrolmen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask very politely if I can slap him upside the fucking head. Because people trusted him. He lied. He blatantly fucking lied to a whole group of people that were in mourning and were, you know, emotionally compromised. Yep. In that moment, he stood up and said, I'm here. I got your back. You can trust me. And then immediately started fucking over the entire community. And it just gets worse and worse every year, you know? So fuck this guy.
Yeah.
What was it? I don't think it was in. Was it in this one, or was it in a different thing I read where he was claiming, you know, he says I've never issued a proclamation about it being Pride Month or anything before. Well, I don't know why you're surprised by this. And we're like, we have at least two examples, Governor, of you issuing Pride. Yeah, like. Three examples of you issuing Pride Month, because the fucking certificates get issued out to people and they live forever.
Yep.
He didn't declare it last year, but that should have been the moment where everybody realized, oh, we're getting a turning point.
Well, he did it in 21, 22, and 23. He didn't do it in 24 because there was an election coming, and he said that the whole thing of declarations had turned into a lightning rod for more division and hurt. Last year, didn't issue a declaration at all. Posted he was taking the month of June to reflect on what values bring us together.
Oh, I remember that. I was so upsetting. I remember we were working on a campaign. We were... It was just so crazy because we were getting ready for Pride. We were making our Pride, like, ribbons and flags and, like, just so much stuff. And it was, like... I just remember laughing and being really happy with all these people that I love so much. And then to wake up the next morning and realize how devastating that Pulse event was. And then we did a lot of work on that, putting that together.
Yeah.
The vigil or whatever we did. And, our candidate never got up. It was not about him, you know. It was never meant to be about politics like that.
Yep. And then Jim fucking DeBacchus is like, no, we'll get the lieutenant governor to do it. It'll be unifying. Well, much like your time in charge of the Utah Democratic Party, Jim, it was a fuck up. It was a huge fuck up. And you owe everybody an apology.
Yeah.
I think Jim was thinking, we all know he's in the closet, right? I think we can get him out of the closet if we have him come. Yeah.
Well, that was like our candidate paid for Spencer Cox to have
a campaign moment.
Right.
Yeah. A full campaign moment. Yeah.
We didn't know about until after the fact because Jim knew full fucking well that Cox should not have been on that stage. We didn't ask, like you said, we're not like, hey, our guy should be there. We're like, no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, community people.
Yep.
Not politicians. Yep. And he did it anyway. And This is what comes of that. This is the hurt is even more severe and more intense because of that.
Yeah.
Also in Utah right now, we're expanding and packing our state Supreme Court because the supermajority
are tired of losing things to them.
Yeah, the supermajority that runs everything and keeps complaining the Democrats are ruining the show and Democrats are about, you know, as inert, you know, as a 70-year-old penis. I'm sorry.
When you have less percentage of, was it less than 10% in the legislature and Senate?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. And yet, but Democrats are to blame. Okay. You have a supermajority. You can pass anything. Even if you've got people saying they don't like it, you can pass anything.
Well, and you're not going to get anything substantive from the Democrats. I mean, Jesus Christ, I watched one legislator fight for years to pass a bill that you had to put kids in fucking car seats. In the car. Not out of the car, in the car. They have to be in a car seat. And it took her years to pass that bill because the Republicans are like, it's a parental rights issue.
Yep.
You got to be fucking kidding me. Democrats. Oh! And not only are they powerless here, they're feckless for the most part.
They're feckless. Yep.
You know, there are a few of them up there that I like. There is one in particular I fucking love. You know, and they're up there doing the work to try and get shit done for regular people, and they have to fight for years to pass common sense legislation because they've got assholes like Trevor Lee up there going, I don't want biological male, I don't female, I don't, it's because, you know, reasons. Ugh.
Make me feel funny.
Yep.
And then Senate President Stuart Adams sent a letter to Kevin O'Leary. This feels like 3 weeks ago, even though it was like on fucking Monday.
Like Monday. Yeah.
But he's like, we'd like to scale this down a little bit. It's an election year and I'm up for re-election. So, maybe
primaried by two other guys.
Yeah. Maybe we can calm this down a little bit. Kevin O'Leary went on TV and called him a pussy. This isn't what we talked about. This isn't what I bribed you people for.
Exactly. What the hell?
Allegedly.
I paid all this money. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And then Cox came out with an executive order not stopping the giant 40,000 acre one that's going up in Box Elder, but any after that.
Yeah.
Because, and I haven't figured out why. I don't get it. And it must just be because there's fucking Republicans everywhere. Mm-hmm. They keep putting data centers in drought stricken areas.
Yeah.
Now, Japan is putting their data centers underwater in the ocean.
Wow.
We have oceans. We have one right next to Silicon Valley. Plenty of water.
And if not oceans, we've got very deep lakes called the Great Lakes that you could submerge your...
Yeah, take those fuckers to Michigan. They need the money.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my God. You can't do it better than Japan, America? What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's because they read their books backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Anyway, that is it for us this week, gang. We're going to take it over to Patreon at patreon.com/dfenmedia. Every week that we record, we put special content over on Patreon for our Patreon family. patreon.com/dfenmedia. In the meantime, Tiffany, thank you. JC, thank you.
Happy Pride.
You're welcome, America.
The happiest of prides.
All month long.
All month?
All year long.
You know what? Let's have a Pride year.
Yes.
Then I don't have to come up with a new graphic for the Facebook page.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. patreon.com/dfenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.